Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. I'm your host, Jane Ross. Now, my very special guest today is Catherine Fitzgerald, who is a award-winning film producer who is committed to working with our finest creatives to produce quality films with a broad international appeal. She founded Blueskin Films in 2002 and began producing a whole run of high-profile short films and was part of the producing team on the Oscar-nominated Taika Waititi, Two Cars, One Night. She also has worked with Great Unborn, acclaimed filmmaker Vincent Ward on the feature film Reign of the Children, which actually screened as part of last year's Wairarapa Film Festival. And in more recent years, Catherine has worked closely with writer-director James Ashcroft, first on the feature film Coming Home in the Dark and in the soon-to-be-released The Rule of Jenny Penn. She joins me now. Kia ora, Catherine.
Kia ora.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Oh,
Quite frantic as we head towards the release.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you about the premiere and the release in New Zealand of The Rule of Jenny Penn. But I always like to do a little bit of a step back and an introduction and ask people who I interview on the show how they actually entered into the world of film in New Zealand. So, Catherine, what's your story? How did you start working in film?
It was with a real passion for film. And actually, my way into the film world was through the Film Society movement and the film festivals. And so I did just about every job under the sun within film societies and film festivals, which meant everything from literally just rolling up my sleeves and making an event happen to thinking about a more strategic approach and how we change things or set things up better. And so that is where I got into it, and through that got more and more passionate about the films that we could make in New Zealand and the determination to give our culture a voice. I don't want to sound sort of like a right-wing nationalist here, but I do think there's something very special about a New Zealand way of seeing the world and our real core values. Some of them are a function of being a tiny little ship in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Our isolation is both a great strength and sometimes the, you know, tyranny of distance is our greatest weakness in the industry, but one way or another, it gives us a really unique perspective. I think New Zealanders are by nature risk takers, innovators, incredibly creative people.
I agree with you, and I'm going to add to that and say, and aren't we really remarkably good storytellers?
Well, yes. I mean, all the cultures that we come from are classically storytelling cultures. So whether it's Pacific peoples, Māori people, the Celtic peoples, and everyone else who has come to New Zealand. In fact, one of the things I often think about New Zealand is that there is nobody here who isn't either somebody who's been prepared to risk everything to come to the end of the world, or is descended from people who were prepared to risk everything to come to the end of the world. So I think that's a real national characteristic, but it also means we know how to work together to survive in adverse places and in adverse conditions.
Yeah, indeed. And listening to you talk about that, I look back on the courageous string of ancestors that of mine that came from the sort of far reaches of the Highlands and the Islands of Scotland, but also, you know, from the west coast of Ireland as well. And I look back and just marvel at the journeys that they took to come here and alone and on their own in many cases. Mm-hmm. And it is just an incredible, remarkable part of who we are, that we have courage, and we don't I never give up on things. And I think it comes from, you know, being in a place where you just have to roll up your sleeves, as you say. And I certainly know what it's like to roll up your sleeves and dive into film festivals because I've done that.
Exactly.
And I mean, I launched the Wairarapa Film Festival right in the middle of a pandemic. And this year we get to celebrate 5 years. And I'm thrilled that you get to be part of that too, Catherine. It's really lovely the way that we keep working to weave in films that you've worked on. And this year we'll be doing the same. But I want to jump then, you know, with the work that you did with a passion for film and for Film Festival and Film Society, you then went in to set up your own film production company in 2002, which is Blueskin Films.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what was the call for that? What made you think, now this is my time to actually start, you know, producing some quality films?
Well, I mean, I've been working with a lot of talented filmmakers when in my job at the Film Commission. I'd left the Film Commission and given myself a sort of self-imposed, you know, period away from the business, so I didn't have any conflicts of interest to worry about. And then I was really keen to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
And I did set myself the task that if I didn't have evidence that I was good at it within 2 years, I would do something else. But within the first 2 years, I'd made four short films. The first one was in Critics Week at Cannes. The next one, Two Cars, One Night, was in Sundance, and then went Best Film in Berlin, went on to the Academy Awards. The next two both were in Berlin and one of them won a prize there. So I figured I was doing something right. And at the same time, I was really lucky enough to work as a sort of producer attachment on in my father's den. So I worked really, really closely with Trevor Haysom and Brad McGann. And that was my film school, really.
Yes.
Although I'd been watching and doing it, and before in the 80s, I worked as a producer in sort of community and education work, a producer, director, writer, actually. I was doing everything on those pieces then. So I hadn't come from nowhere, but I came with a vision and a commitment of what sort of company I wanted to be and what kind of films I wanted to make. So I wrote a little manifesto and I made myself promise and I bought myself a ring.
Ah.
To keep to those rules.
How fabulous. Off air, I'm going to ask you more about that. I just feel that there's not enough time to go deeply into that today, but I certainly, it's certainly conversation I want to pick up.
I was just going to say it's a determination to help really talented people find their unique voices.
Yeah, that's actually it. Yeah, I'm sort of feeling a lot of symmetry with how I feel about the films and that I program into the Wairarapa Film Festival. You know, really at the heart is I want to help people to tell stories. I love telling stories myself, but I actually also really love helping people to tell their stories. And the festival does that, but it also celebrates and shines a light on really remarkable storytellers that have come from the Wairarapa or filmmakers that have come here and chosen to actually make films in this region, which is great. And it happens a lot. And it happens undercover quite a lot. I was inspired to launch the festival because, as you know, for a long time I was partnering with the New Zealand International Film Festival and, you know, to do the Q&As and moderate Q&As with filmmakers. And I just kept meeting really interesting storytellers by doing that. And more often than not, they would say, did you know about a film that I made in the Wairarapa a couple of years ago? And so it just snowballed for me. I just thought it happened too many times for me to ignore. And of course, the film that you worked on first with writer-director James Ashcroft, Coming Home in the Dark, that was partially shot here in the Wairarapa as well.
It was indeed. It was shot between Wellington and the south coast of the Wairarapa. We We certainly did a few days over in the Wairarapa. We certainly worked on this side of the mountains as well.
Fabulous.
That's when I say this is Wellington side of the mountains.
Yes.
We were completely crazy. Most of that film is shot in the dark, so at night in July.
Oh,
in
gosh.
The Wellington region. It was cold.
Yeah, it would be cold in July, yes, very cold.
Cold and night, so it was demanding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm presenting a retrospective this year of films that have been edited by the legend that is Annie Collins, who was born here in Masterton. And I asked her to think for a long time about a set of films that she would love to screen as part of the retrospective. And she's chosen a mix of short films, a music video, and some feature films. And she chose Coming Home in the Dark. And she just said, let's put that on at night. And it's just, it's the film's just going to punch everyone in the face. And I love that. So I haven't seen it yet. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And I'm just really delighted that there's that link between Annie being the editor of that film, but also it being partially shot here, and the link with you too, Catherine, because, of course, you've been over and been part of screenings that we've done here at the Regent Three Cinema. So it's actually just lovely to keep having that ongoing connection. Now, tomorrow night, well, this will go out on Sunday night, but tomorrow night in Wellington, when it's Thursday night, is the premiere of The Rule of Jenny Penn. Tell us about this film.
Tell us about Jenny Penn.
Yes, please.
Well, it's based on a Lorne Marshall short story that he wrote in the mid-90s that's dark. It basically takes schoolyard bullying and sets it in a rest home. The idea is that bullies don't stop being bullies just when they turn 21. Bullies bring their need to somehow exercise power against the vulnerable right into old age. And when our judge, Stefan Mortensen, arrives suddenly in a rest home, having had a stroke on the job, he finds that there's a apparently sweet old man who by night causes mayhem just for the fun of it.
Oh.
And the authorities, of course, are not really remotely interested. And so he undertakes to start standing up to a bully. Standing up to a bully is really hard.
Yeah.
But watching somebody do it is really fun.
And you have got some amazing actors in this film.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
John Lithgow and Geoffrey Rush are absolute titans of the stage and screen. And they have the most wonderful time. They're wonderful actors. It's worth seeing just to see two great actors really, really working to the peak of their abilities. And those abilities are quite something. And George Henare, who's actually one of our pioneers of stage and screen. He started way back in the Māori Theatre Company. He's worked all over the world. He's one of those actors that I remember when I was in a market in the 90s, TV market, we had George on the poster of on the cover of a poster, and any number of people from all countries in the world walked up and said, "Is that George Henare? I want to look at that film."
Oh, wow. So, oh, gosh.
George is maybe better known internationally than he is in New Zealand, actually, but he's back in New Zealand and he'll be there too tomorrow. George is the heart of this film. He just wins everybody over. Just amazing man who I think represents so many of us who who would rather just not have trouble and let a bully exercise their nastiness over us, because you don't know quite what to do. But he finds the courage to really join Stefan and fight back. So George's character is called Tony Garfield, and he was once a representative rugby player, but now he's in his older years. But he's still got that sportsmanlike courage. I love it. And then, of course, we've got Hilary Norris and Holly Shanahan, who both have very memorable roles. But people must go and see it to see exactly how they shine on the screen. And then, of course, James was absolutely determined to have all the people who had taught him his craft, whether as teachers of acting, as people he'd worked with on the stage, or the people who directed him, thinking jokes, and even somebody who fired him. Mm-hmm. He was determined to have them all of his heroes, who are the acting greats of New Zealand theatre on the whole. Many of them have also worked on screen, of course, but the acting greats of New Zealand theatre were generous enough to do residence roles on the whole, and playing themselves, playing actually people but older than they really are, but doing it wonderfully without having big parts. So any one of those people could have been the lead in a film, but
wow,
in this film they are providing the real depth and texture of the community of our rest home. So the community is a really, you get a real sense of it. And the carers, of course, equally, we have wonderful actors in the caring roles. Anna Pala, who you will have seen recently in Tina, as the lead, is one of the carers. She's just wonderful, brings amazingly beautiful warmth to, well, it's not a very big role, but that's one of the things about, they say, in stage and screen, there are no small roles,
no
small, small people. So a small, doesn't matter how small the role is, you need somebody who is absolutely able to embody that character. So Fiona Collins equally is wonderful, Yvette Parsons and Aria Dean Baltazar. They're all amazing in their carer roles and reflect very much the makeup of carers in our rest homes. So the majority of the residents are Pākehā, vast majority of the residents are Pākehā. George rather stands out. And, or rather Tony stands out as a very successful Māori character. And but the majority of the residents are Māori, Samoan, Filipino, Indian, which is kind of how it is when you go into such places.
How did you come to work on this project, Catherine?
Oh, well, James jokes that I said he interviewed me. and he remembers spilling coffee. I don't remember that. And he thought he'd stuffed it up. Well, I thought he was interviewing me. I'm not quite sure what his intentions were. Anyway, he met with a lot of producers to find out who he would want to work with, which is what I always encourage people to do. It's a relationship. The producer, director, and writing team is a complex and challenging relationship, because you're business partners in a creative sector, and that brings up lots and lots of challenges, but so many rewards.
Yes.
So basically, I knew James. I mean, I knew his work as the chief executive at Akirua Theatre. I knew his work as a stage director. He had a great reputation. Knew his work as an actor. But I didn't really know him particularly well before we had a meetup, where he was interested in my working on some of his projects and we looked at it. So coming home in the dark, I came on initially as a kind of mentor to the newer producers, but then I basically stepped up and really worked as hard as they did and helped to make it happen. And this pretty much the same with Jenny Penn. Unlike many of my projects, I wasn't there right at the beginning. James definitely identified the material, and with his writing partner, Eli Kent, they worked on the script for many years before that was ready to kind of try and approach producers. So with other people I work with, I'm there right from the concept stage and we work together and develop the project together. So in some ways I came on rather late, but effectively that was like 5 years down the track and 5 years ago. So it's not that. I'm not a complete Johnny come lately.
It's a hard road making a film, isn't it?
It's hard, but it's so rewarding.
Yes.
This one was really hard. There were all sorts of like complete curveballs that came that really don't make a difference to the film. But things like the SAG strike, the Screen Actors Guild strike in America, meant that not just negotiating John Lithgow's interest in the project, but actually negotiating the practical side of getting an exemption for him to be able to work on this film without being seen as a strike breaker.
Okay.
Was pretty tricky, and required sort of bringing a lot of different elements to bear. So various things like that. We also, I don't know, it's funny how the work of a producer is problem solving. And that's the fun bit. But, of course, once a problem's solved, you forget about it. So when people say, oh, what was difficult, you go, oh, I can't remember, because it didn't matter. And the other thing, I guess, is the real art of producing is to see a problem before it is even close to happening and do something about that. So it's averting a problem that doesn't happen is actually quite an art as well and can be really hard work, but then there's nothing to say, oh, I managed to achieve avoiding something that didn't happen.
Wow. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. You're really proud of this film, aren't you?
Of course.
Yes.
Well, mind you, it's like asking a parent if they're proud of their children. Of course.
Yeah, well, it's a lovely way of looking at it. I am so excited for you, for everyone involved. I'm really wishing you well with the premiere but also the release. So it goes out to cinemas across New Zealand from next week.
Yes. I would add, give it a chance. If you think you don't like scary movies, it's not that kind of scary movie. If you think you don't like horror films, it's not really a horror film. It certainly keeps you on the edge of your seat. It has the most wonderful performances, a wonderful script. Just today we got invited to lodge it with the Academy in LA as a sample script that they select a few every year. So wonderful writing, wonderful performances, and you know, think whatever happened to Baby Jane rather than, it's got humour, black humour for sure. It's got humour, it's got chances to gasp, chances to really holler and cheer when good things happen.
Fabulous. I can't wait to see it. I encourage everybody to jump online and check out the cinemas and when this is going to be showing in your hometown. I know that it's here in Masterton across the Wairarapa from next week. Yeah. So I really encourage everyone to get along and see this film. Catherine, thank you so much for taking the time. I know this is an incredibly busy time, but I'm really excited that we could chat and have this out broadcasting ahead of the release next week.
Oh, thank you very much. Wonderful. Okay, talk again soon.
We will. Thank you. Bye-bye.